Today's Shir Masechet Shabbos Daf Samech Daled. We will begin at Daf Samech Daled Amud Aleph at the top line on the Amud Musaf Sak Ala Begich Tamei Mishim Arug. At the end of yesterday's Shir, we discussed different materials that are Mekabel Tuma. We discussed the size of those different materials that are Mekabel Tuma. The Gemara said that an Arug, a piece of material that's a Kolshu, that's even just the size of a kolshu in Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara said that a piece of metal that's just the size, that's a minimal size, is Mekabel Tumah. And then the Braisa said, Musaf Sak Ala Begit, that the sackcloth that's made out of goats here is more susceptible to Tumah than an Orig, than a piece of material that's woven together. Ask the Gemara, the Gemara seems to understand that the Brice is referring to a situation where you have a small piece of sackcloth and it's going to be Mekabel Tumah, even though a woven piece of material that size would not be Mekabel Tumah. Ask the Gemara, Ota Beged Lav Oraku, this is a Beged, and therefore it should have the same halacha. Answers the Gemara, Hochi Kamar. This is what the Braisa means to teach us. Musaf Sak Ala Begit, that sackcloth, something that's made out of a fabric, that's made out of goat hair, is more susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah than a regular piece of material. Why? Because Afa Pishena Orik, even though it's not woven together, it's not a woven piece of material, it's still Mekabel Tumah. Ask the Gemara. In other words, if you just have a piece of goat hair that's just braided together, it's not sewn together, it's not woven together, it still will be Mekabel Tumah. Ask the Gemara, my chazi, what does somebody do with just a braided piece of goat hair material? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shekein only koilei ashloish nimen, a poor person who can't afford to buy jewelry for his daughter, but his daughter wants to wear some sort of jewelry, he takes three threads of goat hair and sews them together and puts it around the toilet b'tzava bita and puts it around the neck of his daughter. And that is a piece of jewelry. So even though it's not woven together, and as we've discussed many times in our shiurim, for something to be Mekabel Tumah, for material to be Mekabel Tumah, it has to be woven together. Here we're learning a chiddush that even though it's not woven together, it's just braided together, is considered a beged. I actually saw that there was a name for this type of jewelry. It was called batei nefesh. And that was a piece of jewelry that the poor people who couldn't wear any other jewelry would wear this piece of jewelry. So the Gemara now begins a discussion regarding Kabbalah's Tumah. The Braisa says, Tana Rabbanan, sack. The Torah speaks about a sack. This is the Torah when it speaks about shrotzim. We know that the Torah speaks about shmoina shrotzim, eight types of shrotzim that give off Tumah when they die. And the Torah discusses which type of materials will become tamei when they come in contact with this sheretz. The Torah says, "V'kol ha'shipalhem, kol ha'shipalahav mehem b'moysum yitmam, b'kol kli eitz oy beged oy or oy sak, kol kli ashias melach mehem b'mayim yuva v'tamei ad or v'tar." So the Torah says it becomes kama tama. Only al sak. So the Torah says that sack is Mekabel Tumah. Menayin l'rabbis esakilkli v'sachavik. These are different types of items that were made from goat hair thread. One is a breast wrap. The kilkli is a breast wrap, which they would put on the harness of a horse or a donkey below the neck. The chavak is something known as a belly band, which was attached to the harness or saddle that's put beneath the belly of the animal to fasten the harness from the bottom of the animal. They were made from goat's hair thread. They're not garments used by human beings. They're made by, they're used for the animal. How do we know that even though they're not a garment, the makabel tomo, tamaloimer, oisak, continues the brisa, yochash nimarba as a chavolim as a mashichos, that if they had long strings that were used to measure distances, like a tape measure, they were made out of goat hair that wasn't spun at all. They merely took threads of goat hair and twisted them together to make this string. Yochel shani marba as chavolim v'sach mishichos, that these types of string, they're also makabel toma, tamaloim is sak. The Torah, when it speaks about sak, it uses the word sak. Mas sak, tovi v'orig, only if something is spun and woven thread. That's when they used to use a sack that the shepherds typically wore. Af kol tovi v'orig. And as the Rashi points out, the difference between the kilkli and the chavok versus the chavolim and the mashichis is that the kilkli and chavok were made out of spun and woven thread, and therefore the makabel tumah. The braided threads were also made out of spun goat's hair thread, and they were braided together. Neither of these, but the string, the rope, the chavolim mashichis, were not made that way. They weren't woven together. There wasn't any braiding. That's why they're not makabel tumah. This was talking about tumah sheretz. The Torah says, "Vareu oim v'mes." When the Torah speaks about Kabbalah's tumah mes, the Torah says, "V'kol kli or v'kol masizim tischato l'rabbis chilkali v'sechavak." That the kilkali v'kol says the bright says the Gemara, the pasuk says the brisa. The Torah uses the word v'kol to teach us that the kilkali and chavak are makabel tumas mes. Yochel shenim arba as a chavolim as a mashichas. So maybe I would say the chavolim and mashichas are also makabel tumas mes. Says the Gemara, why would I think so? V'dinhu, I can logically come to the conclusion that they're not makabel tumas mes. Because timi b'sheretz, as we began this brisa, the Torah speaks about tumas sheretz, but timah b'mes, and the Torah speaks about tumas mes. Makish atimah b'sheretz, just like when the Torah speaks about tumas sheretz, we explained lo timah ela tova v'orig. The only type of goat hair article is makabel tumah if it was woven and spun. Akish timah b'mes, so too is the halacha should be by tumas mes. The lo timah, it's not makabel tumah ela tova v'orig if it's spun and woven. So why would I think that chavolim and mashichas, which are not spun and woven, should be makabel to mesmes? Hen, says the Gemara, is this a good logic? Im hekel b'temesh sheretz, if the Torah was lenient by tumas sheretz, shikala, which has in it a number of leniencies. To tumas sheretz, if somebody is makabel tumas sheretz, he goes to the mikvah, and that night, after Harav Shemesh, he's completely tahor. Whereas if somebody becomes tamei with tumas mes, he has to be tamei for at least 7 days, because that's the minimum amount of time it takes to sprinkle the meichatos, the paraduma water. So, im hekel b'tumas sheretz, if the Torah says that chavolim ha-mashichis anam makabel tumas sheretz, because shikala, it's a more lenient tumah in the first place. Nokel b'tumas mes, will we be lenient by tumas mes? Shechamur, which you just explained, you have your tummy a minimum of 7 days. So just because it's not tummy by tumas sheretz doesn't mean it shouldn't be tummy by tumas mes. Tamaloimer answers the Gemara. The Torah says begiv v'or by sheretz. The Torah says begiv v'or by tumas mes, and we make exer shava. Nem begiv v'or by sheretz. We explained loitime ela tava v'orig. It only gives off tumas when it's woven and spun. Af Bege V'ora, Omer B'mes, Loitime El Tove V'orig. Asked the Gemara, continues the Braisa, now that we have a Gzeri Shova, which connects Tumas Mes and Tumas Sheretz, says the Braisa, Omer Bege V'ora, Omer B'mes, Timme Kome Se'izim, we are matama all types of ma'aseizim, as long as they're spun or woven. Af beg v'or ha'am b'sheretz, so too by tumah sheretz, timeh kol ma'aseizim. As long as it's spun or woven, it's going to be makabel tumah sheretz. Says the Braisa further, only davar abam ne'izim. So maybe this is halacha by something that comes from goat here, that it's makabel tumah. Nine rabbis dov abom is navasus. How do we know if we have an article that's made out of the tail of a horse, or miznava poro, or the tail of a cow, that they too are makabel tuma? Tamaloimer, the Torah says oisak. So from the extra oi, we learn that even znav poro and znav sus materials are also makabel tuma. Vafekti asked the Gemara, but how could you say that that's what I learned from the oisak? That even other materials, not just goat here, is makabel tumah. We earlier in today's shir used the pasuk of oisak to teach us that the kilkli and the chavok are makabel tumah. Answers the Gemara: when do we have to rely on that gzeirish? When do we have to rely on the oisak to say that the kilkli and chavok are makabel tumah? That's mikam hanimil mikam deleis gzeirishova. That's before we had the Gzeri Shava. Hashtadas Gzeri Shava. Now that we have a Gzeri Shava that connects Tumas Sheretz and Tumas Mes, so we can learn the halacha that the Chilkli in Chavok are Mekabel Tumah from the fact that the Mekabel Tumah by Tumas Mes. The fact that the Mekabel Tumah by Tumas Mes will give it the same halacha by Tumas Sheretz and isolate, so that word now becomes, the word ois becomes superfluous, and to teach us that's not the material, that article that's made out of Znava Poro, Znava Stos, is Mekabel Tumah. Says the Gemara, but that pasuk of oi is by Tumas Sheretz. So only Ella B'Sheretz. Maybe I would say that it's Makabel Tumah by Tumas Sheretz. Articles made out of Znav Por and Znav Sus. But Tumas Mes Menayim, how do we know that something that has a Tumas Mes also has that halacha? Says the Gemara, V'dinhu. I can make the following logical solution. Timah B'Mes, the Torah says that Sak is Makabel Tumas Mes. But Tima B'Sheretz. Ma Kishim Tima B'Sheretz. When we speak about Tima B'Sheretz, also Dova Abba Maznav Sus Maznav Aparo Kamas Izim. We just learned from the word Oi that something that's made out of Znav Sus or Znav Poro is Makabel Tumah. Afkish Tima B'Meis, so too by Tumas Mes, she also Dova Abba Maznav Sus Maznav Aparo Kamas Izim, that the Makabel Tumah. Says the Gemara Hain, is this good logic? Im Heber B'Tumas Erev, as we discussed earlier in our shir, somebody who becomes Tomei with a Tumas Sheretz is only Tomei for that day. At night after Herav Shemesh, he goes to the mikvah, and at night after Herav Shemesh, he's completely Torah. This is the typical situation of Tumah. By Sheretz, by Nevela, by somebody who comes in contact with Shechva Zera, by somebody who comes in contact with Zov. So this is the normal situation, the most common situation of Tumah. Im Heber B'Tumas Erev, if the Torah is said by Tumas Erev, Shimaruba, which is most common, that even the Znav HaPora, Znav HaSus material are Makabel Tumah, that's something we could understand. Narba B'Tumas Shiva, B'Tumas Mes, as we said earlier, is a very significant Tumah. It's a Tumah that you have to be Tumah a minimum of 7 days. And it's also not that common. So maybe, since it's not such a common tumah, the halacha that a material made out of Znava Parah, Znava Sus, will not be Makabel Tumah. Tamaloimer, says the Gemara, the Torah says, Begid V'or, Begid V'or, The Torah says the word Beged V'or by Tumas Sheretz. The Torah says Beged V'or by Tumas Mess to teach us a Gzeir Shava. Nam Beged V'or B'Sheretz, V'nam Beged V'or B'Mess teaches us Ma Beged V'or Hobim B'Sheretz, as we've proven early in this Braisa, that when the Torah speaks about materials by Tumas Sheretz, we learned from the word Oy, also Dova Abob Meznav Asus or Meznav Aporo Kamasi Izim, and that material made out of Znava Par and Znava Sus is Makabal Tumma. Af Beged V'or HaOmer B'Mes, so too, when the Torah uses those words by Beged V'or, by Mes, we learn that also Dova Abba Meznava Sus or Meznava Paro Kamasi Izim. So that's how we learn that all the various materials and certain types of garments or certain types of Chabak, Chilkali, are all Makabal Tumma. And it's all really based on Gzeir Shava, where the Gemara says the Torah uses the word Beged V'or by Meis, and the Torah uses the word Beged V'or by Sheretz. So, throughout Shas, whenever we speak about Gzeir Shava, we speak about the two types of Gzeir Shava. There's a Gzeir Shava that's Mufna, that the word that we're using is superfluous. If the word that we're using is superfluous, then even if there's a question on the Gzeir Shava still stands. And there's a Gzeir Shava She'ena Mufna, where the words are not superfluous. And there, if the Gzeir Shava, there are no questions on it, the Gzeir Shava will stand. But if there are questions on the Gzeir Shava falls. And as we'll see, it really goes even further. There's mufna mishnei tzadim and mufna mitzad echad. Every gzeir shava, by definition, is made up of two words. So if both words are open, that's a gzeir shava mishnei tzadim, mufna mishnei tzadim. If only one of the words are superfluous, that's a gzeir shava that's mufna mitzad echad. This makes the Gemara point. We're learning gzeir shava over and over in our shir, connecting the halachas of Tumas Sheretz and Tumas Mess. Says the Gemara, these Gzeir Shavas, these words must be mufna, superfluous words. Dilab mufna, because if they are not, ikal mefrach. We could ask on these Gzeir Shavas. Mala Sheretz, she came a tam ba'adasha. All you need is the size of an adasha, a Sheretz the size of an adasha, the size of a bean, to give off tuma. Tumas Mess, you have to have a kazayis. So ask the Mashah, why did the Gemara have to come up with a new difference between Tumas Mess and Tumas Sheretz? The Gemara already identified in our Shia today twice a difference between Tumas Mess and Tumas Sheretz. That Tumas Mess is a minimum of 7 days and Tumas Sheretz is 1 day. So why did the Gemara have to come up with a new Braisa? So the Mashah says a very important teretz. Till now we were learning a Binyan Av. To break a Binyan Av, any question could break a Binyan Av. But now we're talking about, says the Marshal, a Gzeir Shava. A Gzeir Shava, and we'll speak about this more in our shir, is Min HaShemayim. You need to have a very strong question. It could be broken, but it has to have a good question. That it's Tamei 1 day or 7 days, says the Marshal. The Gemara did not consider that a good enough question. The fact that this is Tamei B'Kadasha and this is Tamei B'Kazayis, that the Gemara considers a very good question to break the Gzeir Shava. Says the Gemara, lie. Afnuya Mufna. It is indeed superfluous. Michti, says the Gemara, Sera Ishkes Shechva Zera. The Sheretz, as I said earlier, is a type of Tumma which is similar to Tumma Shechva Zera. And the Torah says regarding Tumma of semen, Isha Shetetsu Menes Shechva Zera, Vesit Samachlei, Isha Shiyiga Bechal Sheretz. Vixibbe Beshechva Zera, and the Torah, when it speaks about Shechva Zera, the Torah already says, Vechobeg Vechal Ora, Shiyo Lov Shechva Zera, is Tomei. So that should automatically apply to Tumma Sheretz as well. So Beg Vaor, the Kos Rachmar Besheretz Lomeli. Why did the Torah have to say Beg Vaor by Tumma Sheretz? It must be Shma Menel Afnuye. So what have we established? we've established that the words beged v'sheretz that the Torah says by tuma sheretz are superfluous. So that's mufna mitzad echad. So now ask the Gemara, ha'nich l'manda amma mufna mitzad echad, according to the opinion that if the one of the words, one of the phrases by Gzeirah Shavah are superfluous, that is Gzeirah Shavah l'meidim that we have to accept. Vei meshivim, we can't ask any questions on that Gzeirah Shavah. According to that opinion, we have now successfully established the strength of this Gzeirah Shavah. However, ask the Gemara, El l'manda amma l'meidim meshivim, that according to Manda Amr, that if the Gzeirah Shavah is only superfluous from one side, we could try to learn the Gzeirah Shavah. But if Meshivan, if we have a question on the Gzeirah Shavah falls. We're back to where we started. Mayaka Lameimer. We haven't proven the Beged V'sheretz on the other side of the Gzeirah Shavah. The Beged V'sheretz by the Pasuk of Thomas Mess are not superfluous. So ask the Rosh Yosef, the Prima Godim, asks a very fundamental question. He asks, throughout Shas, there's a rule that ain adam don gzer shava me'atzmai. A person can't make up his own gzer shava. Elm ken kibble merabbi, unless he heard it from his rebbe. So that means a gzer shava is something that we were makabel, were mesaira from generation to generation. So ask the Rosh Yosef, how could there be a question about the veracity of a gzer shava? A Gzeir Shavah is something that we were kabbled from our rebbes. So of course the Gzeir Shavah must stand, answers the Rosh Yosef. And this teretz is an important teretz. When the Gemara says in different places that a Gzeir Shavah was given over from Talmud to Rebbe, it doesn't mean that there was an exact Gzeir Shavah like we're learning in our Gemara. There's a Gzeir Shavah that the Torah says, Beged V'or by Tumas Mess. And the Torah says it by Tumas Sheretz, and that's what connects them. There was a Gzeirah Shavah that says we should connect Beged V'or. Now the question is, where is that Gzeirah Shavah applied? And if it's not successfully applied in one subject, doesn't mean that the Gzeirah Shavah is broken. Maybe it comes to teach us a different subject. Answers the Gemara, the Meis Nami Afnuyim Mufna. The words Beged V'or by the Mess are also superfluous. Why? Because Michti Meis also is Iskus L'Shechva Zerah. We find that the Torah connects Tumas Meis to Tumas Shechva Zerah. The Ksiv, because the Torah says, V'negeya b'chol tamei nefesh o isha shetetzim men Shechva Zerah, v'ksiv b'shechva Zerah v'chol beg v'ka'or. So beg v'or the Kos Rachman Olamali. It turns out that the beg v'or that the Torah writes by Tumas Meis is also superfluous. Shema minol afnuye. It's available on both sides. And therefore, it's a Gzeir Shavah that even if you'll have a question, stands. And that's how what we learned at the beginning of this year, that the Torah connects Tumas Meis and Tumas Sheretz, is the way it is. So the Torah says, V'nakriv, the Pasuk discusses how the B'nai Smidjan, the B'nai Smayav, based on the advice of Bilam, sent their daughters to have relations with the Yisrael, with Klai Yisrael in the Midbar. It resulted in a terrible situation. 24,000 Jews died. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klai Yisrael to go to war against the Midyanim for what they did to us. When they came home from the successful war, the commanders of the army, brought a matana to the Mishkan, from the jewelry which they took from the Midian women. And the Gemara talks about that gift. The Pasuk says, V'nakrev is Karban Hashem, Isha Shemotza Klizov, Etzada, Tzomid, Tabas, Ogul, V'kumas. The Gemara says, Omer, so we know, we've discussed, Klizov means gold, Etzada means what a band they wore around their head, but Tzomid is as an anklet, a tzomet is actually a bracelet, tabas is a ring, and then the Torah speaks about the ogul and kumas. Amar Belozer, ogul is a tfush shel dadin, with some type of jewelry they wore over the breast. Kumas is a tfush shel beis rechem that they wore by their womb. Amar Yosef, yehochi, Now we understand why there, what a targum calls this kumas mochoch. Dova mevil de gichoch. Anything that has to do with that place is called gichoch. Why is it called gichoch? So I saw a beautiful pshat. We remember the pasuk says, "Vehine Yitzchok metzachik is Rivka." When we learned Rashi in Chumash, Rashi says metzachik is Loshen Tashmish, that they had relations. So we see that the Torah uses the word mitzachik when it's speaking about that spot on the woman's body. Amalei Rava, Meguf de Kramashma, Shmamina. From the actual word, we could see that that's what it means, because Kumas is a abbreviation for Kam Mokum Zima. So the Pasuk, the Gemara continues to discuss what happened after the commanders brought this gift. The Pasuk says, Yitzav Moshe al Bekudei Echayel. Arav Nachman Amar Bavua. Amar Lam Moshe Yisrael. Moshe, when he saw them bringing this, got upset. What he said? He said, Shemach Satmul Kekol Kamarishin. Maybe you feel the need to bring these gifts because while you were at war, you had relations with the women from Moav and Midian. Amar Loi. So they responded to Moshe, Chas v'sholem, lo nefka mimenu ish. There was nobody who did this. Amalem and Ken kapara lama. So he asked, so why do you have to bring a kapara? You didn't do anything wrong. Amar loy, they responded, imidei averi yotzanu. If we didn't do anything wrong, miyad hira lo yotzanu. Maybe we had bad machshavas about having these types of relations. Miyad, and that's why for that hira, the nakavas karban Hashem. Tana the Beir of Shmuel, Mevnei Ma'ahutruchu Yisrael Shbaisada Kapara. Why indeed did they have to bring a Kapara? Says the Gemara, Mevnei Shazonai Neimena Erva. They looked where they weren't supposed to look at those Ervas. Amrav Sheshis, Neimena Mona Tachshitin Shabachutz. If we go back to the pasuk that we just learned, the Torah mentions the different Tachshitim, different jewelry that a woman wears, which are all visible. Im tachshit shebefnim, with jewelry that's not visible, the kumas. Loimloch, to teach us, the kol mustakel be'etzba kadana shalisha, if somebody even looks at something which is visible by a woman, kim mustakel be'etzba torfa, that is unacceptable. So, of course, the Divrei Shaul and many other mefarshim asked the question that the halacha is the machshav ra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emet Star Flamasa. So they only, the Gemara says, had a machshav ra. So why is that considered something that they have to bring a carbon for? Machshav ra, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzar Flamasa. So the Divrei Shaul says a beautiful pshat. The Divrei Shaul says that the carbon they brought was a carbon taida. They brought a carbon taida to Hashem that they didn't do the Aveira, that they had a machshava to do the Aveira, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu helped them, and they didn't actually do the Aveira, and for that they brought a carbon taida. Says the Mishnah, Yoytzi Isha, a woman may go out on Shabbos, Bechutei Sar, with hair braided to hair. Rashi says that they used to take hair and braid them on their own hair. So from here we see, this is the basis, says the Ramah, why a woman who has to, as we've discussed, cover her hair, why does a woman has to cover her hair? Says the Ramah, from here we see that they could cover the hair just with wearing a shaitel, just with wearing a wig. Because that's what the Mishnah is saying, that they used to put hair on top of the other hair. The Yavis disagrees that that's not necessarily what they used to cover the hair. That's not what they used to wear to cover the hair. They used to wear a hat to cover the hair. This was under the hat. They wore, if a woman had a problem with a hair, that she lost her hair, they wore it under the hair to supplement their own hair. But as I said, the Shulti Gebayrim is talking about a woman who's wearing a wig in public, and from here to Shulti Gebayrim, and the Ramah bases his psak on the Shulti Gebayrim. we learned that a woman is allowed to wear a wig to cover her hair. Beimishla, whether it's strands of our own hair, Beimishla Chaverta, strands from somebody else's hair. Ubatei Tefes, we discussed these various things earlier in our Meshechta. Ubatefes, Ubasmart, Ubashain Tfurim. If they're sewn on to a hat, so we learned, no woman is going to remove her hat in Rosh Hashanah because she's concerned that it will expose the hair, and therefore she could wear them in the Rosh Hashanah. Continues the kovel we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, or pay in Nachris, she could wear in the Chatzar, but she can't wear them in the Rosh Hashanah. The reason she can't wear them in the Rosh Hashanah is because these are different types of items that she may take off, because let's say she's wearing a wig and people will laugh at her for wearing the wig. So she'll take off the wig and therefore, and she'll carry it in the Rosh Hashanah. Even though the Rosh Hashanah point, the Pnei Yeshua points out that when we learned earlier in our parak, the beginning of our parak, we spoke about kovel, we had a machloikis, what is a kovel? Is it a woman's cap, or is it what the avodim, the emblem that the avodim used to wear? Here is no question. It certainly refers to a woman's cap. Another halacha. She's allowed to wear moichshe ba'ozna. She's concerned that water shouldn't get her ear, shouldn't get into her ear. So the doctors told her that she should wear cotton or something in her ear. Therefore, she could wear it. She could wear that on Shabbos. And from here we see that this, if you have cotton in your ear and it's not put in tightly, it's not considered something which is a chatzitza. Because if it would be a chatzitza, we learned at the beginning of our perek that anything which is a chatzitza for tefillah, a woman can't wear on Shabbos, because we learned in the Gemara, Dilma Misramala tefillah shel mitzvah, we need to be concerned that maybe she'll have to go to the mikvah, and then she'll take it out and won't put it back in and carry it home. Bepilpil was ubemoichshe skinel nidasa, ubemoichshe besambla. If her shoe is uncomfortable, so she puts some sort of a pad in her shoe, she's allowed to walk out with that on Shas Rabim. Ubemoichshe skinel nidasa. If she's a nida, so she's allowed to put some. She's allowed to put something to protect herself. So Rashi says that she puts this moich to protect her clothing from getting dirty. Ask Tosfos, that we learned now, earlier now, Masechta, and we'll still speak about it in Mitzvah Shem, that anything that she wears, that you're allowed to wear something to protect your body, but you're not allowed to wear something which will protect your clothing. So how could you wear this if the entire purpose, as Rashi says, is to protect your clothing? So that's why Tosfos says that we're not talking about that she's wearing it to protect her clothing. It's to protect her body, that the blood shouldn't go on her body and bother her. The Megillah Shleim explains, interesting, that since this is an item, an interesting pshat, that since this is an item that she's wearing, and if the husband sees the dam on her clothing, it will bother him. So that's not considered something that she's wearing to protect her clothing. It's considered that she's wearing it to protect her body, because she's wearing it to protect herself from being embarrassed in front of her clothing, her husband. The Pilpilin, they would wear a peppercorn or begilgal melech or some salt. They would have in their mouth. Anything that's put into the mouth, they would put into the mouth for bad breath. And that you're allowed to go out on Shabbos. As long as she doesn't do that, she doesn't put them there on Shabbos. Why? Because if she puts them there on Shabbos, somebody who sees her doing so won't understand that she's doing it because she wants to avoid bad breath. They're going to say that she's doing it because she wants to move this item. And since she wants to move this item, they're going to say, you're not allowed to carry something on Shabbos. The Tosfos, quoting Reb Pyrus, has a different shot. That the concern here is, if you're putting it in on Shabbos, people will think that she's putting it in for refuah. So if it's there before Shabbos, it's not a refuah. If it's put on Shabbos, it's there for refuah. So I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses, are you allowed to use mouthwash for, is there a concern of using mouthwash in Shabbos? If Taisa says that this pilpul melech that were put in for bad breath may not be put on Shabbos because it looks like a refuah, because it's a refuah, so why are we allowed to use mouthwash? So the Chashukei Chemed says that if it's put there as mouthwash, doesn't solve the problem of a person having bad breath. All mouthwash does is it masks the bad breath. If it's there only to mask the bad breath, but it's not there to heal the bad breath, that's not called a refuah. Furthermore, the nafal. If a woman walked out on Shabbos with these, with the pilpul or the melech in her mouth, and they fell out, the halacha is, loitachzer, she can't put it back into her mouth. Again, the same concern, people who see it will think that she's intending to try to move something on Shabbos. Shein teteves, a false tooth, shezov, if it's made out of gold, Rebbe matter, Rebbe says she could go out with it on Shabbos, the Chum Oisrim, the Chum say she can't. Why? Because since the gold tooth is so different, Rashi actually says two pshatim. One pshat is that since it's made out of gold, so people may ridicule her for walking around with such a tooth, which is different than all her other teeth. And because of that, she's not allowed to walk out on Shabbos. Another pshat, Rashi suggests, that a false tooth, everybody agrees, so according to that pshat and Rashi, they're arguing both about a false tooth and a gold tooth. The other pshat is that they're only arguing by a gold tooth, by a false tooth, everybody will agree that she's allowed to go out. So the Mishnah said that she's allowed to go out with hair attached to a hair, head. And the Mishnah spoke about hair made of her own hair, hair from someone else, and hair from an animal. And the Gemara's obvious question is, why do you have to have all three different cases? V'tzricha. The Yashmin the Da, if we only spoke about her own hair braided into her hair, Mishnah Delay Mas, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. Avul Chaverta, wearing someone else's hair, which in those times was considered Mas, a Malah. We could be concerned that people will ridicule her and she'll take it off. V'yashmina de chaverta, de bas minahu. It's still human hair. Avo de behema la bar minahu. It's not human hair, and that's certainly something she's concerned people will ridicule her. We ought to be concerned. Emaloy, so we shouldn't allow her to wear it. That's why tzricha, we need all three cases that, and the, as the Chedusha Iran explains, if this woman put it on, it's a proof that she's not worried that people are going to ridicule her. Tana, uvach lo tetzi yalda b'shesukena, a young girl is not allowed to wear the hair of an elderly woman. V'zakena is not allowed to wear the hair b'shel yalda. Says the Gemara, b'shleima, we understand for the Braisa to teach us that b'shleima z'kena b'shel yalda, and we understand that an elderly woman may not wear the hair of a young girl. Kushvachala, everybody wants to look young. So therefore we would think that an elderly woman should be allowed to wear such hair. Teaches us the Braisa that although looking young is what everybody wants to do, but since there may be people that will ridicule her and say, why are you old woman wearing such hair? We teach us the Braisa, that's why she's not allowed to go out. Elialda, Bishal Zakena, that a young woman is not allowed to wear the hair of an elderly woman. Amai, why do we need to Braisa to teach us? Of course she may not. Gnaihuloi, it's something that's not nice. Of course she won't walk out that way. And says, Gemara, you're right, there's no chiddush. The reason it's mentioned is either Tana Zakena b'shel yalda, because we learned that halacha, so Tana Nami yalda b'shel zakena, even though it doesn't represent the chiddush. The Mishnah continued saying, b'kovel v'peyin nachris l'chatzur. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Kol she'osr chum lotzis boil Rishus Rabim. Anything the Chazal said, you're not allowed to go out to Rishus Rabim. The halacha is, osr lotzis boil l'chatzur, you're not allowed to go out even to the chatzur. Chutz mikavol pein nachrus. That even though Chazal said you're not allowed to go out to the chatzur, even this is an exception. The kavol and the pein nachrus, you're allowed to go out to the chatzur because we want the woman to look nice for her husband. Now, when we learn this Gemara, a very, very important machlokes rishonim. When we speak about a chatzur, what type of chatzur are we speaking about? Are we speaking about a chatzur mureves or even a chatzur sheina mureves? Machlokes, Rashi, Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos says we're only talking about a chatzur mureves that has an eruv. But if it doesn't have an eruv, then you're not allowed to go there. And the Rambam holds that even a chatzur sheina mureves, because since the whole Isser here is only Isser the Rabbanon, that's why we could be more makel. Rav Sheish, Sha'ani B'Sheish, Shash M'Shmei, the Rav Shmuel, Omer, Hakel K'Kovel. Everything that we've been learning this perek, that a woman may not wear, is only into the Rishus HaRabim. But in the Kam, if it's not a Rishus HaRabim, they may be worn. Tanan, ask the Gemara, Amish, that says, B'Kovel Pei Nochris L'Chotzer. So Bishlam Rav Nicha, because the Mishnah speaks only about the Kovel and Pein Nechris. Eller of Ani Bashoshin, who says it's talking about everything in our Perek, so why does our Mishnah single out the Kovel and the Pein Nechris? Rav Ani Bashoshin Mishmei, the Ma'an Kamalei, says the Gemara, who's Rav Ani Bashoshin opinion following? Mishmei, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yossi, and Rav Shmuel, Rav Yossi, Tanahu, Polik. And indeed, there's a Machloikis. Our Tad only holds that it's mutter by only a kovel and a pein nachris. Reb Shmuel, but Reb Yossi holds everything is mutter in a chatzur, and we paskin like Reb Shmuel, but Reb Yossi. At least Reb Oni Basosin paskins that way. Ask the Gemara Rav who single out the kovel and pein nachris. Maishno hani am ula kadesh lo tiskana bala. We want it to look nice for a husband. Ketanya, the pasuk says regarding a woman who's a nida. Vadova benidasa. The kainer rishonim amru. A woman, when she's a nida, should not put on makeup, a different type of makeup, for tiskasha bigdei tzvoinim. Achabar Rabbi Kiva v'limeid, Rabbi Kiva taught us, imkerat magana abala. If a woman, although she's a nida, is not going to allow to wear nice clothing, nice makeup, nintzabal magarsha. Elmat hamalon v'adova benidasa, benidasa tehei ashtava v'mayim. There's a new din, that until she goes to the mikveh, she's a nida. But even though there's a din that until she goes to the mikveh, she's a nida, that doesn't mean she shouldn't dress nicely. So what's pshat at Shabbat Rabbi Kiva? Because Beis Shammai's opinion was that you're not allowed to divorce your wife only if you found in her an erev istavar. So just because you don't find her attractive is not going to be a reason that you're going to divorce her. Rabbi Kiva says you could divorce a wife for any reason. So now you have to be careful that the marriage should remain intact. And because they have to worry that the marriage should remain intact, that's why Chazal were lenient in allowing her to wear makeup when she's a nida. So here our Gemara had a very serious discussion. When we speak about makeup, we speak about jewelry. What jewelry, where may a woman wear jewelry? We saw a machlokes, is it applied to only certain jewelry, a machlokes in the Gemara? And we also saw, we mentioned a machlokes, does it apply to all chatzeris, or only a chatzur mureves? So as we discussed when we began this perek, our perek has been teaching us that you're not allowed to wear jewelry, that you're not allowed to wear jewelry in Shabbos, over and over. Yet we know that women wear jewelry. So why do they wear jewelry? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Gimel Suf Yud Ches discusses this. And it says, Kosh Asr Chom Lot Tzisbel Rishus Rabim. Anything that you're not allowed to wear in Rishus Rabim, Asr Loi Tzisbel Chotzer Shein Merovis. You're not allowed to even wear in a Chotzer that doesn't have an Erev. Chutz Mekovel Perid Nachris, Dan Akli Asar Shekola B'toich Sara. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. V'yei Shomrim, but now says the Shulchan Aruch, the Kosh Asr Lot Tzisbel Afil Eskash Tzisbel Bebayis, Asr, the Koshkein Lotzis Bol Chotz Merevis, Chutz Mikovel Pein Nachris. He says, you're not allowed to even go out to Chotz Merevis. The Yesh Amrim, He says the third opinion, the opinion of the Rambam, that you're allowed to wear everything, and you're allowed to wear it even to a chotzer mena revis. Says the Shulchan Aruch, women nowadays wear all type of jewelry. And why? Because they rely on this opinion that all jewelry is mutter, and not only is all jewelry mutter, but it's mutter even by chotzer shena merevis. And then he goes on to say, but there are opinions, al Gemara and the Rishonim, that are stricter. So how could they be lenient? Says the Gemara, says the Shulchan Aruch, b'yesh amru d'dmini asuris, they're really not allowed. Al kivin shlo yishmu, since they're not going to listen, mutav shei shogigos v'alye mezidos, a concept that we discussed in Daf Nun Hey. V'yesh shalom d'alayim z'chus loyim shei noigus kin apil ha'chsvoy ha'chroni shiksafti, shlo yosu v'takshitim l'chotze sheinim ha'revis. If it's a chotzer, even if it doesn't have an erev, everything is mutter. And says the Shulchan Aruch, v'hashtu d'leslan rishus rabim gemura, Gomer, we don't have really rishus rabim. Kol rishus rabim shalonu karmelus, v'din k'chotzer sheinim ha'revis mutter. V'yei shaymrim, says the Rama, oy tam laheter, da'achshiv shchiti shatachshitim, women wear jewelry much more. V'yotzim ha'bachol, and they wear jewelry even during the week. So therefore, in our world, there's no concern that they're going to take off the jewelry and show it off like there was in the time of Chazal. In those days, they didn't wear jewelry rak b'Shabbos; they only wore it on Shabbos for loishchichi. So the Gemara says that. So one of the reasons that Tosfos says and that the Shulchan Aruch says we could be lenient b'zman hazeh is because we don't have rishus rabim gomer. So now the question is, so why is the halacha that in Rosh Hashanah, which is Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar? Sukkot, which is in Shabbos, we don't take the dalaminim. Why don't we say that there's no Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Gomer b'zman hazeh, and there should be no concern of Yam Shem Yavarenu, dalam's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? So the Sefer, I saw Peiris Teina, answers this question. He says that only by jewelry, where the Gemara says that you can wear jewelry by chotzer she'enem urevis, we could be makel b'zman hazeh, where there is no rishus harabim. But we don't find such a Gemara, says the Peiris Teina, by Shabbos. We don't find such a Gemara by shofar or by dalaminim. So just to make up that since there's no rishus harabim, we could be lenient. We can only be lenient in our sugya, where the Gemara is lenient by a chotzer. And as I said, the Rambam says it means a chotzer she'enem urevis. Where there is no such explicit heter in a Gemara, we can't just apply such a heter.